Tonight's reading is from Luke 8, verses 26 to 39. That starts on page 1037 in most of the Bibles, I hope. The healing of a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herds rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged out to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him.
Thanks, Heather. Let's just pray together before we look at this passage. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that it teaches us about who you are, about your activity in the world. And we pray this evening that you would be at work once again, that your Holy Spirit would be moving amongst us, that it would reveal to us the challenges that you have for each of us and as a community from this passage. Amen. So this evening we're continuing in our series looking at the Gospel of Luke, and we've been going through it for the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks, looking at different encounters that Jesus had with individuals. And we're here in Luke 8, and this has kind of had the title Good News for the Afflicted. And so as we look at these verses together, we're going to consider, I guess, one overall theme as we go, and then break that down together. But before we get on to what that theme is, it's interesting, isn't it? What stories and accounts kind of come into the kind of junior church Sunday school sort of catalogue? What are the go-to stories? So it's things like the feeding of the 5,000, things like Moses parting the Red Sea, and all kinds of other things. And the encounter that is here in Luke and in a couple of the other Gospels as well often pops up. And yet it's almost strange when you look at it and read it, kind of as to what happens. Why? Like, why would we want young children to hear about this bloodbath of the pigs running down the hill, of a naked man running loose in a graveyard, screaming at the top of his voice to Jesus? Well, I guess it's good for us to teach these things because it's good for us to teach the whole of Scripture to even the youngest, to the oldest. And so as we look at this passage together and we look at it, perhaps, I don't know how many times you've looked at it before or considered it, look at it under the sort of the theme of fear. Now, I realize that doesn't necessarily sort of sound conducive to talking about the good news, but you're just going to have to stick with me for approximately 20 to 25 minutes, depending on how this goes. So thinking about fear, and we're going to look at three of the main players in this passage. So looking at Legion, so the demon, Legion, looking at the pig farmers and the people, which incidentally I think would be a great name for a band. So if anybody wants to take that name, please feel free. And then the unnamed man. And as we look at each of these characters, considering what do they fear? Who are they afraid of? So the first character, Legion. So Jesus and the disciples have sailed across the Sea of Galilee, and if you glance just at the paragraph before, you'll see that it wasn't plain sailing across the sea. They got caught in a storm and Jesus was asleep, and yet he settles the storm just with a word and leaves the disciples amazed. And as they come to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee, it's interesting that there isn't consensus over to where this was. There are different, in the Gospels, it's called different names. But one thing that all the commentators agree, and that is clear from history, is that this particular area was mainly populated by Gentiles. The Jews would have been there, but the Gentiles were sort of the majority. So for those of you who were here a few weeks ago and you heard Ruth Perrin talk about that Jesus brought good news of great joy for all the people, and we looked at the encounter of Jesus, not necessarily with the Roman centurion, but with the Roman centurion's people and friends. We saw how Jesus brought good news for all people, both Jew and Gentile. So although that was kind of a remote healing, so Jesus didn't actually meet the centurion, here we have him crossing the border and going across the sea to where the Gentiles were. And as soon as he gets there, as soon as he puts one foot onto the sea, onto the shore, he's confronted by a demon-possessed man who we read later on in verse 30 that his name is Legion. And it's interesting there, well, I find it interesting, that thinking about the centurion, so a man who had 100 soldiers under his command, and here we have Legion. So a legion of soldiers could have been up to 6,000 soldiers. So this, a legion, so potentially a Gentile, possessed by a legion, a demon called Legion. And we ask ourselves the question, what is Legion afraid of? Well, he makes this abundantly clear in verse 28. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. And he would have said it louder than that without sort of amplification. He is absolutely terrified of Jesus. Verse 28, shows us that he knows the identity of Jesus. He knows who he is. So the disciples at the end of the sort of calming of the sea wonder, who is this? And yet this demon, or this many demons, they know Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And in verses 31 and 32, we see his fear outplayed in that he pleads and he begs with Jesus. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the herd of pigs. I beg you. This demon is terrified of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. When Jesus gives permission for the demon to go out into the pigs, and we see the bloodbath of the pigs scampering down the steep bank and being drowned, understandably, that upsets the pig farmers. And we're told in verse 34 that they then run off. They run off to tell the world, the town and the countryside, what had happened. Now, their material possessions, their livelihood has gone. And so they don't seemingly ask questions. They just scarper. So fear, I guess we talk about when we're confronted by fear, it's either fight or flight. These guys can't wait to get out. Legion, the demon, is up for a fight. He goes toe-to-toe with Jesus as soon as he arrives on shore. But the people, not knowing who Jesus is, are petrified and run off. And verse 37, as all this crowd has now gathered and come back, and Luke doesn't give us any sense of how long that might have took, of where they went, all the people of the region, sounds like quite a crowd, asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. They're absolutely petrified at what Jesus had done. We could speculate as to why that might have been. Perhaps it was the loss of sort of monetary or possessions in the pigs, of livelihoods, and thinking, well, if he's going to do that for the pig farmers, what about the rest of us? Perhaps they were wary of kind of who this man was in terms of he had power over evil spirits. What might he do in the rest of our town? We don't know. It's not kind of categorical here. But we know that they're afraid, and so they just send Jesus away. We don't want anything to do with you. And it's interesting, isn't it? Again, I find it interesting. Maybe I should start to phrase it that way. That Jesus just goes. At the end of verse 37, so Jesus got into the boat and left. So he'd come across the Sea of Galilee, had been through a storm which had calmed. He met one man. And then the pigs, bloodbath, the people come back. They tell him to go, and he goes. So we've had Legion, afraid, petrified of Jesus. The pig farmers and the people, concerned, worried. What might he do in our lives? What might he do in our town? And then we have the unnamed man. So we'll just consider the kind of the contrasts in this man through the passage. So we start, when we meet him, he's naked. He's naked, he's been in chains, that he's broken. So it's interesting that he said he hadn't lived in a home, lived in tombs, and had been driven into solitary places. But this guy is strong. This unnamed man is strong. And so he was naked. But he meets with Jesus, and the people find him clothed. It tells us in verse 35. They found the man for whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed. And not only is he dressed, but he's gone from being out of his mind to having his mind possessed by a legion of demons to being in his right mind. And we see that he's gone from the solitary places, from the graveyard, to being in community. So he's at the feet of Jesus. Like I say, we don't know how long it would have taken. You know, imagine it now. Maybe the pig farmers have got their mobiles out, gone on Facebook Live, taken a video of their pigs drowning, and say, everybody get here, this crazy man's done this ridiculous thing. And we're petrified. Come and meet him. But they've gone round, they've come back, and for however long Jesus has been doing, and again, Luke doesn't tell us what he's been doing, but the unnamed man is sat at Jesus' feet as a disciple. You know, when we did the series on discipleship in the mornings, we talked about following in the dust of the rabbi. This guy is at Jesus' feet, hungry to know more. And so we think it's all good news, isn't it, for the unnamed man. From that transition from, I can't think what the size, from the left to the right. It's all good news. And yet this man is also afraid. And so as we look in verse 38, and the language that Luke repeats. So the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. And that resonates, doesn't it, with the verses before when Legion was the one who was begging. Legion was the one saying, I beg you, don't torture me. I beg you, I plead with you, send us into those pigs. And yet the unnamed man is now the one who's seen to be begging to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away. So Jesus accepts the request, gives permission for Legion, sends him into the pigs. But the seemingly noble and honourable request of the man to go with Jesus, he sends him away. He says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. And the reason I think there's fear for the man, because for however long he's been that guy, that weirdo who hangs out in the graveyard, the one who's a stark raving bonkers, screams like a loony, breaks his shackles, leaves the guards for dust, he has to go back into that community. Just think of all that could be thrown at him by the people. Or maybe the damage that he's done that he's now got to pay for. All of the broken relationships that he's caused. All of the fear that that man, when possessed. And so he doesn't want to deal with that. And it's a good and honourable thing to say, I want to go with you, Jesus. But Jesus has other plans for the man. The unnamed man is told to go, return home, and tell how much God has done for you. So it's not just return home, it's not just, I don't want you, but actually my purpose for you is different. So you can be my disciple, you can follow my commands without following me sort of literally behind me like the 12. And so he goes back and he tells all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. And from the beginning of our series, thinking about the shepherds who went and told what they'd seen, what they'd experienced. Of Zacchaeus, who did the one thing that he could do. He hosted a party for his friends to tell him that Levi, that salvation had come to this house. And so the man goes back. And so as we think of good news for the afflicted, it's great news for the unnamed man, isn't it? That before he's outside of his community, he doesn't have a purpose other than being the kind of town freak and just being someone of nightmares and ghost stories. And he goes back with a purpose from Jesus. He tells him, tell him what God has done for you. And so Legion, scared of Jesus and the power that he had. The pig farmers and the people, petrified, want Jesus out, nothing to do with him. The unnamed man, perhaps understandably, wants out, wants to follow Jesus, knows it's good and honourable and noble, but Jesus has other ideas. And I find it interesting in this passage of, where are the disciples now? Where are the disciples in this account? So they crossed the Sea of Galilee with him. Yet they're nowhere. And I think they were absolutely petrified. And that they were stood behind Jesus. Almost like Jesus can go first because, again, it's honourable that our teacher go first and we'll follow. And yet the disciples are nowhere. And so, Tim, if you just, that's it, just move on more. And so, I guess one of the keys for the disciples, and maybe where they're at, so as we look at the sort of verse that precedes this passage in verse 25, so Jesus has calmed the storm, says, where is your faith? He asked his disciples. And then we have this, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So we have fear and amazement. Fear and wonder. Who is this man? So they wonder and they are amazed. And so for each of the other characters in the story, Legion is fearful, the pig farmers are fearful, the unnamed man is sort of fearful but obedient. He goes and he does as Jesus commands him. And the disciples are fearful and amazed. I venture probably still amazed, thinking, wow, he calmed the storm and now he's healed a demon-possessed man that had, you know, hundreds, thousands of demons in him. Earlier in Luke, when Jesus kind of starts his public ministry, he quotes from Isaiah 61 and verses 1 and 2 and says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And as the disciples have journeyed with Jesus, and maybe they've had those words in mind, those words ringing in their ears, that Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the one who cast out a demon, whose reputation was one to party and eat with sinners and tax collectors, who healed people of leprosy, who healed a centurion's man or servant remotely, and who here now heals a man with hundreds and thousands of demons. Who is this man? And maybe, as Ruth suggested to us, we just read these passages and go, meh. Just think, yeah, I've heard it before. But what is our response? Is it fear? And so we are frightened. Is it fear? And so we want to fight against it, thinking, well, that can't be right for Jesus. Or is it fear and amazement? Fear and wonder. The concept of fear perhaps isn't one that we like to think about when we think of God and who God is and the character of God. And yet the book of Proverbs reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. So it is also the friendship of the Lord. We get to call Jesus Christ a friend. But there is fear there of, wow, I can't believe he did that. And that's in the passages in Scripture and hopefully in our own lives as well, as we reflect on the works that God has done in our lives, of the prayers we've seen answered, of the situations we've seen changed. Wow. I'm amazed. I can't really pretend to know a great deal about the fear of the Lord, but I can recommend a book that was given to us by a friend a few years ago. So, The Fear of the Lord, Discover the Key to Intimately Knowing God. So if you'd like to borrow that, you can. There's also a magazine that BMS sort of produce, I think it's once a term. And so the last one actually looked at the supernatural and says, have we rationalized it out of Christianity? And it talks about spiritual warfare, it talks about the demonic, and it's got some interesting reading to kind of, I guess, unpack this. Because if we're honest, you know, I've not encountered any demons in my life. And so this passage seems so foreign to us. And that might just be me. I was reading at the Rangthorn Church while helping June Project this week from this book. So it's The Desert Fathers, Sayings of the Early Christian Monks. And the demons were a reality for them. And there was one that particularly caught my attention. So a demonic, frothing terribly at the mouth, struck an old hermit on the jaw, and he turned the other cheek. This humility tortured the demon like flames and drove him out there and then. Again, you might not have an experience akin to that in your life or in your Christian experience. But the God of Scripture, the Saviour, Jesus Christ, bringing good news, both bringing it, being it, and acting upon it. Good news for the afflicted. Good news for a demon-possessed man. Good news for that community who ultimately then rejected him, told him, go back in your boat, sail back across the other side. And so for us, so Tim, if you could just take us back to the four groups. How are we going to respond to the Jesus that we read about in Scripture and the God that we experience in our day to day? Is it going to be one of fear and fight? So we just go toe to toe with him, just like Legion did on the seashore. As soon as Jesus arrived, Legion is up and in his grill. Are we going to be like the pig farmers and the people who just peg it? As soon as something supernatural happens, we're going to flee the situation, run away and pretend that it doesn't exist? Or are we going to be like the unnamed man who had fear and yet was obedient? And so I think that's a great character. Maybe he didn't understand there was a longing there to go with Jesus, and yet when Jesus called him to I guess his mission, he went with him, went with what Jesus told him to do. Or are we going to be like the disciples who were found in fear and amazement, and who perhaps, and I can't know for sure, in this situation absolutely petrified, and yet who did they shelter behind? Who were they protected by? By Jesus Christ, who could cast out demons, had that power. So before Charlie and Joe lead us again, we're just going to pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are good news, that you are good news for this unnamed man, possessed by demons and yet restored after an encounter with you. We thank you for how we see that worked out in our own lives, of restored by you. That we are clothed, back in our right mind, brought into community with you. We thank you and praise you for the work that you have done in our lives. And we pray for what you have to come for us, for the commands that you want us to live out, just as you called the unnamed man to. We pray that we would be obedient as he was. And we pray that you would amaze us again. Show us where we have just dialed it down. Make us aware of your power, of your glory. Teach us what it is to fear you. Help us to get to know you so that that can then bring understanding.